The crisis on Wall Street has a lot of people singing the blues, but critic Bob Mondello says you can also take your cues, both musical and financial, from 1960s Broadway.
Capital gains, non-taxable corporate capital gains, with prepaid interest, Swiss francs and Swiss banks.
Back in the 1960s, if you were putting on a Broadway musical, you wanted it to appeal to a guy called the tired businessman. Before tourists took over the Great White Way, he was the target audience, rich, bored, and sitting in an office at Showtime right near the theater district. But he was the tired businessman because he just spent all day at work. So rather than put him to sleep with love songs, producers pushed chorus girls doing high kicks, vaudeville-style comedy, and in Subways Are for Sleeping, a story about a guy he could identify with. Sidney Chaplin played a high-powered businessman, a speculator, who rose from kid with vision to real estate mogul, all using the bank's money, which proved his downfall.
Check for Project 35 to cover Project 96. Check for Project 83 to cover Project 2.
Given that title, Subways Are for Sleeping, audiences didn't have to know much about finance to realize that this guy's bubble had burst. The character was living in Grand Central Station. He was a former businessman.
And then one day, one little check just didn't come through on time. Well, my credit was a myth. The kid with vision was a crook. And that was the end of those capital gains, non-taxable corporate.
This was maybe too clear a picture of a speculative bubble bursting to be very popular with its intended audience, however pretty the music. The character kept saying he was glad to be out of the rat race, and audiences seemed to feel the same way about being out of the musical. It did not run long, perhaps because How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying was at that same moment offering a sunnier version of corporate life.
I play it the company way. Wherever the company puts me, there I stay.
But what is your point of view?
I have no point of view.
Supposing the company thinks that...
I think so, too.
How to Succeed wasn't the only show that offered instruction in things financial. A remarkable number of 60s musicals spend a lot of their time singing about money, crooning, hopefully, in the Marx Brothers tuner Minnie's Boys.
Rich is, never let money burn a hole in your pocket.
Philosophically, in Fiddler on the Roof.
If I were a rich man.
Sarcastically, in Cabaret.
I've got all the money I need.
And just a tad greedily, in I Can Get It For You Wholesale.
The sound of money. The lovely sound of money.
And if money appealed to the tired businessman, how about mutual funds? At a 1967 show called How Now, Dow Jones, a stock ticker was jangling as the curtain went up. That's about as clever as the show got. The plot has something to do with a man who won't marry his girlfriend until the Dow Jones average crosses 1,000. This was 1967, remember? And since she was the gal who announced the stock exchange totals, she just said it had. Meanwhile, politicians were colluding with bankers.
A little investigation, an honest effort to capture the vote.
Beats Wall Street's true approbation, long as you go for the other guy's throat.
How Now, Dow Jones was so awful, it really should have put the kibosh on all future musicals about finances. But the 60s were a time of economic optimism, and if real estate and stocks couldn't be stuffed effectively into musical numbers, there were still the banking and bond markets to consider. They came to the fore in The Rothschilds, a musical about Europe's premier banking family in the 19th century, so influential that they secured a Declaration of Rights for European Jews. They did it, in the show at least, by forcing the hand of Germany's Prince Metternich when he tries to finance a war with Napoleon by selling bonds.
Ladies and gentlemen, a limited number of the new peace bonds is still available. The price, a mere 23. Thank you, sir. You may claim your certificate when convenient.
The Rothschilds in the show had older bonds, and they undercut the prince by selling them at a loss in a song that pretty clearly articulates not just how governments raise money, but how the private sector can affect its ability to do so.
There's a newest low price, no price lower. If you find one, let us know. Fine!
Then this is it, we've hit rock bottom.
Step right up and come and get 'em.
Just as soon as someone's got 'em, that's the end of our portfolio.
Keep selling and
This song about bonds, a big production number with folks racing around the stage buying things, was the climax of the Rothschilds, not romance. And if it was invigorating enough to keep the show in the black for more than a year, it also proved the tired businessman's last hurrah. Within just a few seasons, producers were courting tourists more than New Yorkers, and Broadway had removed from its portfolio, more or less permanently, its little seminar on Wall Street. I'm Bob Mondello.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.